The cost of living crisis over the past few years has driven many lower income people and whānau to use buy now pay later loans for essential goods and services. And with a low barrier of entry and no affordability checks, some are getting trapped in crippling debt cycles as a result. I spoke to Natalie Vincent, head of microfinance at Charity Good Shepherd, about the problem and scale of buy now pay later debt, starting by asking how many people requesting support from Good Shepherd are using buy now pay later services.
On average, people that are coming to us for our community finance, we would see about 90% of those clients would have buy now, pay later services in their budget, some of them with outstanding debt, but some of them just actually using the services. So yeah, it's really high.
Consumer New Zealand statistics show 20% of buy now, pay later users had accumulated debt from buying essential commodities. What are you seeing people use buy now, pay later services for?
It's a range of things. I mean, there is a portion of people that use buy now, pay later and they use it really well. They use it as a budget management tool and it's really effective for them. But what we work with clients that are on low or limited income, and we see a number of those people who have got into a spiral of debt with buy now, pay later, and they've used it to purchase food from the warehouse, meat from the mad butcher, essential clothing. So not just consumables that are luxury items, actually essential day-to-day living expenses.
How do people get into these debt cycles with buy now, pay later? And what sort of impacts does this have for people affected?
I think the thing with buy now, pay later, if you're not one of those people that's able to manage it really well, what happens is you get a credit limit that has not been affordability assessed in any way. So you make an application to join one of these buy now, pay later services, and that can literally be done at point of sale. You're allocated a credit limit and then you make a purchase. That's spread over either 4 or 6 weekly repayments most of the time. Problem being is that you can subscribe to a number of different buy now pay later services. So you may have 4 or 5 on the go. Sometimes we see as many as that, and then people may have 9 purchases, small purchases across each of those providers. And then they're doing weekly debits, which may only be $5 or $6 perhaps for each purchase. But if you've got something, you know, we've had cases where there's been 27 debits going out of a person's account a week for all these small purchases they've made over buy now, pay later services. So as you can imagine, that really can very quickly become unmanageable or hard to keep a track of. And then the debt builds up. You might miss a couple of direct debits. You then get a fee charged, a default fee, and it just can very quickly spiral out of control. Or the other way we see it becoming unmanageable is people get their buy now pay later limit increased because they've been a good payer. So you may have started out with just a $500 limit, and we've seen those go up to more than $2,000 limit with no affordability assessment. So the people often argue that, you know, it's the same as having a credit card, you can go and purchase things. But the difference with that is there's actually been an affordability assessment. So they've actually been checked whether they can afford that credit, and that doesn't apply in these cases.
What factors have been driving the rise of buy now, pay later usage, especially for essentials and household goods?
I mean, I think it's been pretty well talked about. We've got a really high cost of living here at the moment. It's, you know, it's across everything. It's housing, food, utilities. You know, if on average that's the, you know, some of those things have gone up around 20%, yet incomes have only gone up a little bit, particularly if you're relying on solely on a benefit or on a minimum wage job, you just can't actually afford the day-to-day essentials. And a lot of people we work with are financially excluded from mainstream banking, so they're not accessing affordable credit products. They're probably, you know, from a bank, they're probably going to a high-cost lender. Say you need, you know, new tyres for your car. You don't have access through your bank to $500 or $600 for new tyres, so they may go to a high-cost lender. Buy now, pay later has sort of stepped in there and kind of disrupted that, whereby you can buy now, pay later your tyres, and that's good because you can pay that over 4 instalments, right, which may then seem more affordable. So I think there's been a real rise in people accessing buy now, pay later because it's filled a bit of a need there. You know, it's enabling people to access a service that is they deem to be more affordable. And there is real value in that, but the problem is it's presently unregulated, and as I alluded to earlier, it's very easy for that spending to become out of control and cause unmanageable debt.
What protections or regulations do you think would help alleviate these issues in the buy now, pay later sector?
Well, actually, there was a paper put out, a discussion paper put out by the government, and for everyone, banks and buy now, pay later services, anyone could submit on that. And obviously, we did that, and a lot of other people working in debt solutions, financial mentors submitted feedback on that. We called for regulation of the buy now, pay later service. The government proposed that there could be some regulation, but with a minimum threshold, I think, of about $600. We argued that that actually wouldn't capture clients on low incomes, because some of them only have a buy now, pay later limit of $500 or $600. So those people that they're thinking they're going to try and protect and prevent from being harmed would actually be completely missed in those proposed regulations. That hasn't actually been decided yet, so we're all waiting on response from the government to regulating the sector, but we hope that the release of that is imminent. The industry themselves proposed a code of conduct, and we don't believe that that would be sufficient to protect people from being harmed by these services. But buy now, pay later does have a place. I think it's a great opportunity for people if it's managed really well, and if it's had affordability assessment. It's a line of credit. You know, people need to be assessed to check that they can actually afford that line of credit, not just given out to them simply because you've subscribed. So I think that's our position on it. It's not that we don't think there's a place for it. It's just having protections in place to make sure that people can afford it.
That was Natalie Vincent from Good Shepherd on Buy Now, Pay Later Debt.